How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. Harrison is not with us tonight. He's still with us. He's among the living, which, you know, just to make sure we're clear there. But I am by myself tonight. I am joined by David Naylor, and I'll get to him in a second. Before we get to that, make sure you're following the show on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Today's Fast Break. Make sure you're using the promo code LOLAKERS for SeatGeek and Mack Weldon and Lakers10 on BetDSI.com. We'll talk about that stuff here in a second. But David, it's been a while. Like you stayed at our place before Summer League, and now you are enjoying You're enjoying the NBA season so far. So how's you cover the Wolves? How's the Wolves season treating you so far?
It's been a journey, shall we say. At times, I think enjoying might be a bit of a strong word, but it's fascinating to see how different this team is from last season, even if the results on the outside look kind of the same, because they're not good. They're really bad.
Well, it's kind of interesting. So we'll talk about this. We'll get into the actual expectations, but the Wolves, they're really fun to watch, and they have their future is really bright if you just look beyond next week, you know. I don't know quite why people are so frustrated with that team. Just like I don't know why people get so frustrated with the Lakers, because who cares if both teams are good next month, because neither team are going to be good enough to deal with the Golden State Warriors. I'm not sure where that is coming from. Is it two fan bases that are just that hungry to, you know, to have a decent team to root for?
It's with the Wolves, I can tell you that it's pretty common knowledge by now that the Timberwolves have the longest playoff drought in the NBA. It's 12 years. The last time they went to the playoffs was in 2004. And the fan base is really, really tired of being really, really bad. And that's been kind of a running theme. So entering this season, you have the second year of development for players that are anticipated to be huge superstar potential players like Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns and Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn. And you have a veteran playoff-tested new head coach who's going to come in and fix the defense in Tom Thibodeau. And here we sit mid-December, and they're 6-18 and tied for the second worst record in the NBA and have one of the worst defenses in the NBA. And people aren't connecting the dots yet that this process isn't happening instantaneously and isn't going to.
So, just so everybody's clear on this, this is David Naylor of Canis Hoopus. So this is kind of a perfect storm. When I look at the Wolves, there are so many great writers and there are so many great personalities on Twitter. When it comes to the Wolves, you have Zach Harper, you have Steventris, you have yourself, you have Patrick Fenlon. You just kind of go down a list of all these people who tweet about the Wolves and write about the Wolves, and the general consensus is, well, this team is thoroughly underachieving. But at the end of the day, you have a really young roster that's finding itself with a brand new coach with that roster. Where I get kind of hung up on is the future is out there to be, you know, it's pretty easy to see where that future is going. I get kind of hung up on why are people so frustrated with this team, considering how easily that future can be attained. And like when I watch the Lakers, it's the same kind of thing where people get frustrated night after night when the Lakers, like right now, the Lakers are on a 5-game losing streak, and people keep on getting so frustrated about whatever's going on with the Lakers. I don't know why or where that frustration sets in, because this season doesn't matter at all. It's about, you know, making sure that the Lakers, or in your case, the Wolves, are put in a situation where they can take advantage of a situation when the Warriors start slipping, when the Cavs start slipping, when LeBron is no longer a cyborg. Why do you think the frustration sets in the way it does with both franchises?
I think that people want to see potential realized faster than reality wants to let it be. Everyone anticipated Andrew Wiggins to be just absolutely tearing the NBA apart by storm in his third season this year. And he's been really good at times. But it's not good enough to carry a team. Everybody expected Karl-Anthony Towns to just be completely dominant and the best big man in the league in year two. And perhaps those expectations were a bit over the top, considering he turned 21 like a month ago. He just was legally able to drink. I want to say it was like 2 weeks ago. Like, it's, this team is so, yeah, and it's the same case for the Lakers. Like, you have D'Angelo, who's been wonderful to watch for the last 2 years and has great moments, and is fun to, and Clarkson and Randall, who's been amazing this year. Like, you have all these young guns, but they're still really young. Like, and it's just the maxim I have seen passed around from so many wise old heads in NBA writing that I've followed around the internet is young teams don't win games. Yeah. And for the Wolves especially this year, that has been true. As long as I'm on here, it's been so fun to watch the Lakers kind of avoid the expectations on from what it's looked like on the court. They've played so, like, freely. Yeah. I want to say it's been so fun to watch compared to watching the Wolves night in and night out. It looks like a different attitude on the court.
So that's what's kind of interesting. So that's an interesting dynamic that you bring up. So when I watch the Wolves play, and both teams, the Lakers and the Wolves, are building towards something, we'll even say, at least a year down the road. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're watching something take form at least a year down the road, where, like, you know, people might have thought that the Wolves were capable of, and the Lakers, both franchises really are both teams are capable of, excuse me, challenging for the playoffs as this year goes along. And mm-hmm. with you know, Mike Conley going down, and with Chandler Parsons, we don't know when he might come back. Maybe the Grizzlies fall off and whatever, this, that, and whatever might actually come to pass. Both teams are capable of challenging for the playoffs, but that's not the end all, and that's not the be all.
And it shouldn't be.
No, either. Of course not. Yeah, of course not. So when I watch the Wolves play, and I watch Tom Thibodeau screaming at people, whether they're up 30, whether you guys are down 30, whether you guys are in a close game, whatever. I watch a coach who knows what he's building towards, you know. And when I watch the Lakers play, I watch a team, you know, when I'm watching the play, I'm watching a team that's like, I know where they're building towards. And as frustrating as it might be, because, you know, you look at the talent on the Wolves and you say, like, Karl Anthony Towns feels like he should be able to contend for a playoff spot right now. You look at Zach LaVine, and yes, he looks like he should be able to contend for a playoff spot on a roster. And Andrew Wiggins, like, he should be able to contend. And on the Lakers side, you look at D'Angelo Russell, and he handles an offense, and he has a confidence in himself that you think, yes, he's capable of contending for these spots. But at the end of the day, they're all kids, man. All the players I just listed right now are under, what, 22?
22, yeah.
Like all the players that I listed are under the age of 22. I'm hosting this podcast with a glass of wine in my hand. Only two of those guys could do so right now legally. And as frustrating as it might be for when it comes to fandom, because you want the future to be here and now, this is where we find ourselves. And it's about mitigating and managing expectations as they come along.
Yeah. And I have a tweet that I want to bounce off of you in terms of expectations and how the team's appearing on the court. Kevin Arnovitz of ESPN, phenomenal person, listen to him on True Hoop podcast and all sorts of avenues, tweeted on Friday after Friday night's game, members of a team that played Minnesota recently, they're playing like kids who've been told they're not going to have recess the rest of the year. And I thought that was a really interesting kind of look at the mindset of where the Wolves are at right now. And I don't know, like, how does that strike you in comparison to the mindset the Lakers have?
It's just there are two different foundations being set right now. Where, like, Luke Walton is empowering everybody. You know, Luke stepped into the spot that he is right now, or that he holds right now, and he said, "Everybody, you're going to go out there. You're going to play as free as possible, and we'll make it work as we go along." Whereas, like, Tom Thibodeau, and I'm not saying one is more right than the other, but Tom Thibodeau kind of, like, you know, stepped in and said, this is how I know to be successful in the NBA. This is what I was successful with the Chicago Bulls. This is how I made it work back when I was a defensive coach with the Boston Celtics. I'm going to whip everybody into shape, and I hate to sound like an old, you know, like, you know, the millennial guy who's like, you know, back in my day, but with millennials nowadays, you have to be able to explain to them why you're doing what you're doing. And I think with Luke, even when the Lakers are losing, with Luke, it's like, all right, this is why we're doing what we're doing, and this is how we're going to handle whatever situation pops up with us. Whereas, like, Tibbs just keeps yelling and yelling and yelling, and I could see that kind of wearing on players. Have you noticed that with the Wolves so far?
It's always been interesting to me. If you've watched a Timberwolves game this year, you'll notice that one of the loudest voices you'll hear in any arena is Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah,
you can hear him screaming all the time during games, during just absolutely trying to yell instructions and ice, all the things that you would expect Tom Thibodeau to do. You can hear him crystal clear because he's that loud and that forceful.
Could you see that wearing on players, though?
I don't know if it's specifically through the coach's comments or through loss after loss after loss, after giving up ridiculous runs in third quarters and fourth quarters, after holding double-digit leads and coughing them up. I don't necessarily know if I would blame the coach on that, but I don't think that he's helping the mental state of the team, given how rough just the bad parts of their season and their individual bad parts of the games have been. And I mean, everyone knows they're the worst third quarter team in the league, and no one knows why. Everyone's been trying to figure it out. Everyone in Timberwolves Twitter has been trying to figure it out, but they've just been awful in third quarters. It's one of those chicken or the egg questions. Is could Coach Thibodeau be helping adjust this mental state so that that doesn't happen, or does he just need to put the hammer down and try and fix the on-court problems that are causing these problems and continue to be relentless and fierce and unceasing in criticism and volume of what he's working with? And at this point, there's been enough of the sample size in the season. The Wolves have played 24 games now. Whatever he's doing hasn't really changed anything yet. And I think that's part of why people are starting to get frustrated. And yeah, it's not a big enough sample size. But
well, so the way I kind of look at it is if I was a Wolves fan, and granted, I'm not. but if I was a Wolves fan, I would say, all right, at least there's a direction that the Wolves are building towards, right? Like, if I was a Suns fan, I'd be saying, hey, like, Dragon Bender isn't playing at all. You know, like, I'd get really frustrated. Back even last year when Byron was, you know, hesitant to bring in, you know, he was playing Lou Williams on the stretches of games, or 2 years ago when he was playing Ronnie Price instead of Jordan Clarkson down the stretch of these games, like, I didn't know where the franchise was necessarily going. Mm-hmm. And I, as frustrating as the season might be, as annoying as it might be with the Wolves winning or losing the games the way they are, at least, you know, maybe you might think that the franchise is going in a positive direction. What isn't a great statement, though, the third quarter thing kind of sticks out to me, and here's why. And again, I'll completely cop to being insanely biased. This is a Lakers podcast. This is how this works.
I walked in here knowing exactly that this was going to happen at least once, so I'm prepared.
That's absolutely fair. Like, I know that I will cop to being biased hosting a Lakers podcast. But when the Lakers started out their season, and this season on the whole, the Lakers have played really well in the third quarter, and it tells me that they're buying into whatever Luke is selling to them at these halftimes, right? Yeah. And for me, I used to be a coach, so when I used to coach my team, if the team wasn't doing well in the first and third quarter, right after I talked to them, I would say, like, okay, yeah, that's probably on me. What can I tweak? What can I tweak in the message to be able to make sure I'm getting through these kids? And for the Lakers, so far so good. The third quarter has been pretty good. The first quarter has not been great, but that's mostly because the starting lineup is kind of a disaster. Luol Deng is a waterlogged corpse, so that's kind of, you know, it's pretty tough to make up for that with whatever talent is on the court. But in the third quarter, for the Lakers, it's been pretty good. For the Wolves, it's been an unmitigated disaster. The third quarter has been really bad, and you can't help but, you know, from my standpoint, looking from the outside in, I can't help but look at whatever's going on with the coaching situation and just say, have the Wolves kind of tuned out Tom Thibodeau in at halftime, where, like, he's trying to send whatever message he's trying to send, and it just isn't getting – it's not setting in the way you'd like to see it set in.
So, an interesting statistical comparison. You talked about the first and the third quarters as being, like, the most heavily coach-influenced quarters, right?
Uh-huh.
So, by net rating, in first quarters, the Timberwolves have the sixth-best net rating in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
They're smacking people in first quarters.
Yes.
And that's been a thing the whole year.
Uh-huh.
In third quarters, they are 29th in the NBA. They're finally not last because the Nets are really bad, but... They have a net rating of negative 23.3 in third quarters. And, might I add, that's after they beat the Warriors by 12 in the third quarter tonight, so we really don't know anything. Because that was really strange.
Yeah.
But, like, it's the third quarter, which is even more infuriating because clearly at the start of games, they're executing the game plan they have. And for the Wolves, you would think that the starting lineup would be one of the best lineups they have. If you have the cohesion of Levine and Wiggins and Towns, who've been working together really well, you have the Towns and Gorgui Dieng front court that's been playing together for most of the last year and has been just doing amazing things in offense, and you have the ever-debatable case of Ricky Rubio, who has not been good to start the year, but has not been bad, other than shooting, but we kind of expect that at this point. But the starting lineup has just an... The Wolves starting lineup has a net rating, I had this somewhere right here, of negative 8.4 over almost 400 minutes this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the third quarters almost exclusively, and that's it's just kind of mind numbing because you see them know how to play right, and you see them know how to execute a game plan right, and play through Wiggins or play through Towns depending on the night and the opponent, and then in the third quarter everything just dries up. They start forcing shots. They start not executing on defense. If a shot's missed, they're not getting back quickly and give up buckets in transition. It looks like a mental thing on the court. And so the question from Timberwolves fans and from myself and other members of the media to Coach Thibodeau is, do you need to change a lineup or something in early in the third quarter if one of these runs starts to happen? Like, clearly, since this keeps happening, something has to be altered with it, and rather than like a long-term systemic change, it's like maybe bring somebody in off the bench to change up the pace or to change up the style of play. Just do something rather than watching game after game after game slip away.
Yeah, no, I the way I kind of look at it with the Wolves is right now on NBA Twitter, there's this infatuation with youth, right? They're on good contracts. There is, you know, the potential is intangible, so you have no idea how that might play out. And with the Wolves, it's a perfect storm because everybody on that roster is young and on a great contract, on a great contract, and we don't know where that might lead to for the Wolves. With the Lakers, it's in that kind of same category, except, you know, Timofey Mozgov is really expensive, and Luol Deng's waterlogged corpse is still there as well. But with both of these franchises, you can kind of see, you know, where that future is kind of heading towards. And as a fan, you can't help but feel like, man, we're right there. It's right there. You know, it's tangible. It's almost tangible. We can see where the immediate future is taking us. It's just a matter of getting there. And when I watch people react to how, you know, Karl Anthony Towns is playing from night to night, how people are listening to or how people are watching Andrew Wiggins play from night to night, and looking at the counting stats for both those guys, I can't help but feel like, you know, I want to tell people, like, just enjoy the process, you know? 4 or 5 years from now, sure, like, we can look back on this and we can say, hey, remember that one time Karl Anthony Towns wasn't an all-star? You know, and for as a Laker fan, we can look back and we can say 4 or 5 years from now, we can say, like, hey, remember that one time D'Angelo Russell wasn't an all-star? And it's about enjoying the process. And I feel like because of social media and because anybody can blog and say whatever they want at this point, it's really easy to just start, you know, formulating these hot takes and completely ignoring the fact that both of these franchises, and this is just the Wolves and the Lakers in this case, but we can look at across the league. We can look at, you know, we can look at the Celtics. We can look at the Heat. We could look at whoever we want to look at. We can say like, hey, remember back in the day when both these teams weren't in the playoffs? And remember back in the day where, you know, we used to write about these teams that weren't in the playoffs? And I feel like at this point, because it feels so tangible, all these fan bases are just ignoring the fact that, you know, there's a process to get to where we want to get.
So what you're saying is we all need to go listen to Sixers Twitter for a while? Because you said the word process a whole lot in the last couple of minutes. And I can't help myself.
The word process is never going to be the same. The word process, like I'm never going to be able to say process. Not ever. Like, come on, Sam. Couldn't you find a word that nobody is ever going to use ever again? Freaking Hinkie.
Nope. God bless Sam Hinkie and God bless Joel Embiid, the self-proclaimed process himself.
Hold on. Oh, I'm holding up a grain of sand and I'm blocking out the sun right now, so.
But you're totally right. It's this whole thing is a process. And I think part of it for Wolves Twitter is, when did the Lakers last win a title?
2012. I want to say 2012. No, take that back. 2010.
It was 10 because it was right before LeBron went to the Heat, I think.
Yeah, no, so, 2012 was a year from hell. I apologize, all people who are listening.
you didn't just hear
what just happened.
You're going to get some grief on Twitter after this, and I look forward to it.
I definitely will. Yeah.
So 6 years ago, the Lakers won a title. So 7 seasons ago. The Wolves have been in a state of rebuilding, in a state of the process, functionally since the Kevin Garnett trade in 2007. Mm-hmm. Like, there is a certain point where, as a fan, in addition to as trying to be a little bit more objective and looking around the league, the Wolves have been rebuilding and working through the process for 9-10 seasons. They've been through David Kahn. They've been through the 2009 NBA draft and the Ricky Rubio and Johnny Flynn over Steph Curry. They've been through Kevin Love not getting a full max extension on his deal and eventually leaving, which the value of that now with Andrew Wiggins could be debated, but that still at the time was not a wise decision.
No.
And so the this is now like the 10th season that the Wolves have been rebuilding, and there's a hunger for that to be done, and it's so hard because this franchise, the greatest success in this franchise's history is the conference finals. Like,
where they lost to the Lakers. I just want to point that out to everybody listening right now.
And that's fine, but there's just a certain point where people are tired of waiting.
Yes.
And people are tired of the process, mm-hmm. even if it's the right choice. Even if this team has one of the most enviable cores of youth that's been seen in the NBA in the last decade, right now, today. It's still just hard to look at the standings and see 6-18 and look at the defense and see that it's one of the worst in the league after you hired one of the great defensive coaches in the league. It's just hard.
No, I completely get that, but I also can't help but feel like, again, there's a direction that the Wolves are building towards, right?
Yeah.
And as frustrating as it might be for Wolves fans out there and for all three of, you know, the Wolves fans who are listening to this right now, as frustrating as it might be, you at least know you're building towards something. Over, you know, compared to the last couple of years before Luke showed up, and Luke should be our next president of the United States.
And Byron should be excommunicated. Which
yes, no,
I
he should be
not
exiled.
Say,
like, he should be...
send him to some Pacific island away from anywhere without a basketball court and just let him live there.
No, like, if I found out, like, my son was being coached by Byron Scott in the YMCA League, I'd be like, what are the leagues are out there? You know? Like, how can I make this work? But as frustrating as it might be, you know... Like, while Tibbs, and I can't imagine Tibbs is great to play for, especially from a millennial standpoint. Like, I David, how old are you?
I'm 26.
Jesus Christ, you're young.
You knew that, but you didn't remember how young.
I'm 30 myself. So, like, technically speaking, you and I are both quote-unquote millennials, right?
Self-identify as a millennial.
Yeah, yeah. You and I are both quote-unquote millennials. If you and I both had, like, we watched M. Dot Brown, Miles Brown,
yep.
He had this vine that got retweeted a whole bunch when the Wolves were up by, like, 30, I think, on the Lakers, too. And this is why I noticed it, but the Wolves were up by, like, 30. And you have Tibbs, like, screaming at players, you know, back cut, watch the rotations, this and that and the other. And I can't lie. I would look at – I would handle that situation as like, hey, coach, easy, guy. Like, it's going to be okay. At some point, we're going to pick up these lessons. And when I look at – when I watch the Lakers play, and the Lakers have actually said this pretty often – and I apologize to everybody because this is supposed to be a Lakers podcast. But when I watch the Lakers play, these guys are willing to run through a wall, an actual wall with Luke Walton, because they say we aren't being screamed at. They get back into a huddle, and Luke kind of looks at them as like, guys, we need to get back into this game. And I look at the juxtaposition between the two franchises, and I look at how much fun it looks like the Lakers are having playing for Luke, and I look at Tom Thibodeau screaming at I listen to Tom Thibodeau screaming at his, you know, guys, and if I'm a free agent out there, I'm saying, like, you know what, it'd be kind of cool to play for Luke Walton. And that's the one spot where, as great a reputation as Tom Thibodeau has around the league, that's the one spot where I'd be a little worried if I was a Wolves fan compared to being a Lakers fan. And I listen to the guys talk about playing for Luke. That's, you know, and on top of that, playing in Los Angeles, which is a little easier to sign for people as
than
well.
Playing in Minnesota.
Yeah, right. So,
especially.
Yeah, right. So, like, this whole, all of these factors kind of confluate to look at the situation that both franchises are hoping to sign guys over the next couple of years. That's not a great Freudian slip. Not a great look if you're in Minnesota if you're in Minnesota and playing for Tom Thibodeau compared to whatever's going on in Los Angeles, where somehow Luke Walton convinced Nick Young you should probably care about playing defense again.
That's unbelievable. How good he's been this year is just nuts to me.
On top of that, like, on top of whatever's going on with Nick Young playing defense again, which is interesting, or for the first time in his career, Lou Williams is creating for other players. Like, what the hell's going on out here?
And still also scoring really well.
Yeah. Efficiently, yes. Yeah. So, I don't know. I probably sound like a super homer saying the stuff that I just said, but...
The problem is the free agency point is the most legit point of all time.
Yeah.
Minnesota is not a free agent destination. It never has been, and it probably never will be. Los Angeles is. And an interesting thing about Thibodeau is an interesting thing to watch going around the league this year is obviously, like, I cover some of the Wolves away games, since I for readers who listeners who probably don't know, I live in St. Louis. I don't live in Minnesota. So my opportunity to cover the Wolves is at away games rather than home games. So opposing players and coaches have commented a lot on the impact that Tom Thibodeau could be bringing to the team. And what's interesting about former players saying it is it's always players who don't no longer play for him talk about how much they learned from him and how great of an experience playing for him he was. A lot of them say it, but none of them play for him currently when they say that. Like Joe Noah has said that, Derrick Rose has said that when the Wolves had a home-and-home with the Knicks a couple of weeks ago, both Noah and Rose were glowing in their reviews of how much they learned from Thibodeau and how good of an experience playing for him they was. But they're not there anymore. And, like, I can't imagine playing for Thibodeau is fun. I can imagine it's educational. I can imagine that in the long term it's going to be good. But, for these young kids, you don't see him smile very much. And no. For dudes who, like, having gotten to work with them in person for the last couple of years, Zach LaVine, it works his ass off, but he also likes jokes and likes to smile and is a fun dude. Andrew Wiggins might be an emotionless corpse, but that's fine. He's Canadian. and Karl Towns is a hilarious, fun guy, except when it comes to basketball. And they just, like, it wears on them. And there have been a lot of columns in the last couple of weeks about how much this workload and how much the atmosphere is wearing on this team. And that, I don't think that's good for the long term. And going back to the original question, which is about free agency, I think the Wolves need a veteran, but free agents don't come to Minnesota. I still, like, I've been thinking about this question since the summer. I don't know who the biggest name free agent that signed in Minnesota is. Ever, because we get people like Cole Aldrich, who has been phenomenal this year in the minutes that he's played, but Cole Aldrich is not exactly a big name free agent. 3 years, $21 million to be backup center, and that's great, but you're not bringing in somebody like, I think the dream world for the Wolves would be to bring in somebody to play the four, some veteran, little bit stretchy for to work with the Wolves starting lineup, not be starting the Twin Tower Jeng and Towns lineup, let Towns actually play the five and drive opposing fives crazy. And it's hard to see that coming in free agency, which means that there's going to be some decisions in the trade market made if that's going to happen.
So I'm going to send this tweet right now. I'm sending this, like, for those of you listening right now. I know how great live tweeting is for everybody involved. But I'm sending this tweet to David right now, and this is a situation in which the Lakers are in a single possession game. The Wolves when the Lakers are playing this, the Bulls could tie up the game with a three. I'm sending this. I just sent it right now. And this is that's a huddle that Luke Walton is looking at the rest of the huddle at, and he's joking. You can look around the huddle and he's kind of kidding around. David, in a million years,
I remember seeing this.
Yeah,
when, like, it first happened.
Could you imagine a huddle playing out like this with Tom Thibodeau?
Let me tell you the number of times I've seen Tom Thibodeau smile after pregame media availability this season. It's about one.
Yeah. And so,
even after wins.
And so like if I'm a, and this is the thing, and I'm sorry, David, I kinda coached you into appearing on this podcast, even with all the stuff that the Lakers right now are in the middle of a 5-game losing streak. They lost to the Suns last night. They lost to the Knicks tonight. By the time everybody listens to this, you know, whatever, however that's going to play. But the point of having the show is there's a very tangible future. The future is right there. And as annoying as it might be for Laker fans out there, on your drive in, on your commute tomorrow, as annoying as it might be to watch the Lakers lose to the Suns, to watch the Lakers to lose to the Knicks, as annoying as that might be, you know that these guys love playing for the coach that they're playing for. And you know, while this is going on, that people around the league are watching this take place. And David, I know I kind of coaxed you into to talking this in this situation, but I don't know if Wolves fans can say the same about their coach.
You would be hard pressed to find someone that would, and I'm going to be real honest about yeah. that, because I'm sure not there. And I was one of the more skeptical people of the Thibodeau hire in the summer. I can go back and point to that. I'm not going to yet, because I think there's still a lot of basketball left to be played. But I had a lot of questions about this hire when the Wolves did it. They played the game right to get the guy they wanted to get, and that's fine. But I kind of had some questions long term about if this fit made sense, and I wasn't the only one who had that. And now there are starting to be a lot more rumblings of that. And Lakers fans listening to this, as someone coming from outside watching this team, you guys should understand how good you have it getting to watch this team do the ridiculous things they do. Like, I was in Oklahoma City, ready to go to a Wolves game, sitting in a hotel room watching the Lakers beat the crap out of the Warriors about a month ago, and we don't have games like that.
Yeah.
Like, you can feel the atmosphere that the Lakers have, even in the bad games.
Yeah. Well, they're contending. Outside. They're contending. We're like, I sent out a tweet a couple months ago where it was just, it feels like the Lakers have been 5 points away from whoever they're playing all season. No matter who they're playing, you know, they've been within 5 points with, you know, against whoever they're playing. And again, these guys will go to the end of the earth to compete for Luke Walton. And if you look across the league, I don't think very many teams can say the same thing about, you know, guys competing for a new coach or a coach at all. And you know, as annoying as it might be to watch the Lakers lose, by the time people were listening last night, to watch them lose against the Knicks last night, and before that lose to the Phoenix Suns, as annoying as those losses might be, the end game is right there. It's right there for the taking. It's just a matter of, for all these Lakers, buying into whatever Luke Walton is selling, and for Laker fans, buying into whatever the franchise is selling. And I know this is going to sound like propaganda on my part, but just trust me on this. The fact that these guys are buying into whatever their head coach is selling is completely different from whatever has gone on over the last couple of years. And it's I hate to say this, David, but it's kind of different from whatever we watched, even with a more talented roster in Minnesota.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
I would love to disagree with you, but I can't in good conscience. That's the thing that kind of drives me crazy about this, is I am so amazed by what Luke Walton has done with the amount of buy-in from the roster. And I've been trying to think for a while about what a good comparison for this Lakers team and its relationship with his coach is, and still young, still a lot of time to think of it, but like, there's, it's hard to find like teams with maybe slightly less talent, but who believe in their coach and believe in the system so much that they're winning games they probably shouldn't be winning. And that's what this Lakers team has done already this year, and they're going to keep taking games off people because people aren't ready for what they can bring.
Yes, I absolutely. So This does it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. I appreciate everybody listening to this point. Thank you very much, David, for hopping on with us. David, tell everybody where they can follow you and whatever you're working on right now.
You can find me on Twitter at Prof Cedar, P-R-O-F-C-E-D-A-R. I am currently working on doing some research about bench lineups for the Timberwolves because mm-hmm. for some reason the bench has been better lately, and I'm trying to figure out why. Mm-hmm. And I will be over the Christmas holiday. I'm going to be traveling around to several away games, including games in Atlanta and Denver and potentially out to the East Coast to Boston and Washington, D.C. So you can follow travels and get insights from the locker room on there. And I just want to say, while I have a sec, we still beat y'all by 26 the one time we saw y'all this year. So just got to get that out there while we've been talking down to my team a little bit. 125-99, only time we met on the court this year. That's all I got.
How many wins do you have this year?
Don't worry about it.
So that's where you guys can follow David. Canis Hoopas is doing great work over there. Aside from Lakers Twitter, which I love Lakers Twitter and all the stuff that you guys are putting up. You guys give us questions all the time that Harrison and I should answer, and we are trying to answer as often as we can. Wolves Twitter is my favorite of the NBA Twitters, so make sure you guys are following David over there at Prof Cedar. Make sure you guys are following, all those guys over there. But when you follow those guys, make sure you give them send them a little note to tell them that the Lakers have more wins than they do. So
now that instead of doing that, they're going to come in my mentions with hashtag future Laker. I'm already ready for it.
Oh yeah. No. Andrew Wiggins is going to be a Laker next year.
Zach LaVine, hashtag future Laker. I'm already ready for it.
you saw his face when he got drafted by the Wolves, so.
Yep. Oh, everybody remembers that.
That's all right. So I greatly appreciate everybody listening to this point. This is Anthony Irwin. Harrison was not here tonight. David Naylor was here was with us tonight. Make sure everybody follows David at Prof Cedar. We'll talk to everybody tomorrow. When Harrison is back with us, and yes, enjoy the rest of your day. We'll talk to you soon. Shall say Anthony Beeler.